Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6. I want to read one verse of scripture and you'll hear in verse 16 as you turn there. Verse 16, Jeremiah 6:16. Let me say, it is a real joy to be here tonight. I mean that. This morning, we was up in a little place called Grassy Creek, North Carolina. I have no idea where I was at. Even when I got there, I didn't know where I was at. And when I left, I didn't know where I was at. They told us, they said, go out here, go to the stop sign, take a right, go to the stop sign, take a right, go to the stop sign, take a right. And I said, well, the message in that is always stay right. Amen. And what a blessing that is. And we tried to do that. And finally made our way back to Sparta, and then down the mountain, stopped off by the little place there where you can look out. You couldn't see anything. Trees growed up across Johnny. Couldn't even see out on the lookout area. And I ate us a bologna sandwich or a ham sandwich, and it was a blessing. Amen. At the treetops. Couldn't see over the trees, but it's been a real joy. And also want to say thank you, preacher, for letting us come and be in your service tonight. Good to see my dear friend, Brother Castle, who is moving up the chain in Rock of Ages so much. If I want to speak to Brother Castle, most of the time I have to get a meeting with him, call him, get a reservation to be able to speak with Brother Castle. And he's always at the home office, always doing something with the ministry. We was honored to see him on Wednesday night receive his 15-year service award, and what a blessing that was, faithful service for 15 years. And I'm grateful for that, Brother Castle, and his love for the Lord, and his great work that he's doing with the Rock of Ages ministry, and represent the ministry, going around sharing things about the Rock of Ages. Many missionaries, I think Dr. Ellis said we have at least 4 candidates coming in September, maybe more. A couple of them surrendered in our meeting this last week, and I rejoice in that. Rock of Ages just finished on this Thursday night our 46th National Conference at the Shenandoah Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee, first time the conference has ever been in Cleveland, Tennessee, although our home office is there. But we travel to different areas of the country, different years. A few years we was in Massachusetts, last year in South Carolina. And I talked to Dr. Ellis, had lunch with him on Friday, and he don't have no idea as of yet where we'll be going out next year. So who knows? We may be in Timbuktu. Amen. But wherever he feels the leading of the Spirit of God, that's where we'll go, and we'll follow that direction. And so I'm grateful for that. And so thank you so much. Appreciate you loving our son. I mean that. I'm grateful that he got in the church that loves missionaries and loves people in general. And I'm grateful for that. Appreciate the Holder family and what a blessing they are to us. And it's a blessing to be able to speak to folks that knows about your ministry and knows what you deal with in prisons and jails and things like that. I'm grateful for that. We was over at their home a week or so ago looking at different things, and I told Miss Cindy when we left, I said, boy, that was a blessing. She said, what, to be able to talk about prison work, amen, and to talk about jail ministry and about souls being saved, amen. Ain't that a blessing? We got 3 boys, not all of your boys, they marry into families that understand that, and they look at you funny. They think you crazy, and I've been thought that I was crazy for a long time. I don't worry about that stuff. But I'm grateful for this family and this church. Jeremiah chapter number 6 tonight. If we'll stand in reading of the Word of God, one verse of Scripture, and then I'll bring you the message that the Lord has laid on our heart for tonight, and I hope to be a blessing to you. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. And there's a lot of people saying that today. There's a lot of people don't have no desire to go to the house of God, but I'm grateful that you do. Amen. And what a blessing for that. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on the message tonight the old-time way. Amen. And I'm grateful. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here this evening. Bless now your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We joined the Rock of Ages in February 2005, and so we have just finished our 18th year. Going on here before long, we'll head toward the 20-year mark, and I'm grateful for that. And over the years, we have churches that have supported us, some for 18 years. And from time to time, we'll get letters or we'll get correspondence with the churches, and they'll send out questionnaires or send out things, maybe a new pastor. You know, it always is concerning to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, but when a church gets a new pastor, because you don't know the direction that that church is heading in, that pastor could say, we're not supporting any missionaries unless they'll cross the sea, and then therefore, most of the time, our ministry in the Rock of Ages is pushed out because they don't support the Rock of Ages, and therefore, and so when we do find that, a lot of times they'll send us questionnaires, or they'll send us, or call us, or contact us, and one of the reasons they do that, Brother Barker, is they want to make sure that we've not changed our direction, we've not changed the doctrine, we've not changed the Bible. Somebody say amen. We not changed what we were and represented when we was there the first time, that we're going in the same direction, and I don't blame them, amen, because we realize today that there's a lot of people that has veered off and went in the different direction of ministry, and they're doing different things. But can I say tonight, and I want to come as a new missionary, not long supporter here at this church, but I want to make sure that everybody understands where I'm heading, amen. I want you to understand exactly what the ministry is looking for, as standing on some things. And I want to tell you something, friend. Me and Brother Castle was in a meeting on Friday there in Cleveland at our home office at the new chapel up on the hilltop. And our president was he was leading the meeting, and he was making sure that we as the missionaries understood in no certain term that we were not changing on anything. Amen. I mean, listen, we're not changing the Bible. We're not changing our doctrine. We're not changing anything. That the ministry has continued going forward for the glory of God. And you know what I said? I said, amen. I'm glad to be a part of the ministry for now, that being 46 years, and thank God they're the same way that now with that when they started 46 years ago in 1977. And I rejoice in that. And so thank God we can say, and we can purpose in our heart tonight, that thank God we're not changing, amen. And we're going to stay on the old way, amen. And I rejoice, thank God, this evening. Thank God we can do that. And can I say, if it was good enough for Papa, it's still good enough for us today, amen. If Grandma could shout about it back in the day, thank God, hallelujah. Thank God you and I can shout about it today, amen. And we can rejoice in the goodness of God, for we understand this, that our God does not change. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we can rejoice in that. Listen, there's a lot of changing going on today, but I want to guarantee you one thing. It's not God doing the changing. I rejoice in that. I will say there, thus saith the Lord. He said, walk, stand ye in the ways, and ask for the old paths. I'm not looking for the new paths. I'm not looking for anything new, friend. Listen, I realize we're living in a world and society where everybody is looking for the new things, and they want to go after the new things, but I'm glad, thank God, that we can stand on the old things, amen, and stand in the old paths, amen, and I rejoice in that. I remember somebody said one time, they said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And how true that is. And can I say, we're living in a society today that is falling for everything. I mean, listen, if the wind blows there, they over there. If the wind blows over yonder, they over yonder. I'm glad, thank God, we can stand firm on that firm foundation tonight and say, praise be to God. With the help of the Lord and the good Holy Ghost of God, we're going to stand firm on the things of God. Amen. And boy, we can rejoice in that. I remember the old song they used to sing in the old hymn book, page 351, and it talked about that old-time religion, and I know what we're talking about. I realize a lot of people think they got religion there. I know that, but I understand what they were talking about. Amen. Give me that old-time religion. And it said, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our mothers. It was good for everybody, and it's good enough for me. And can I say tonight, thank God it is good enough. Amen. And I rejoice in that. You say, well, Brother Harrison, what were they singing about? Well, listen, were they singing about some outdated way that happened many years ago, one that is not relevant for the day in which we live? And can I say the answer to that is no, not at all. You say, well, Brother Harrison, what were they singing about? Can I say, my friend, thank God they were singing, I believe we're singing about some basic fundamentals of the Christian faith. Friend, listen, we're going to have to hang on to it. Amen. And I realize folks think we're crazy, and they think we nuts, and they think we not all this and that. But I want to tell you, son, I want to be counted with the old-fashioned way. Amen. I want to be counted with the old-time way. Amen. I want to stand right in there. Amen. And still preach out of the same Bible. Praise God. And listen and do the things that God would have us to do. And can I say, by the way, the reason we sung that is was it was good for our fathers and it was good for our mothers because it was. And the reason we can sing that today is because it still is today. Amen. And boy, aren't you glad we can rejoice in that. And so I want to talk about that, the old time way, the old time beliefs. And I'll give you a few things real quickly and we'll go to the house. First of all, let me say this. The old time way or the old time belief simply includes, number one, I believing and realizing that we serve a living and an everlasting God. Aren't you glad, thank God, like the sister sung so wonderfully, and I praise the Lord for the good song tonight. What a blessing message in that song. Listen, when you can't track him, thank God, you can still trust him, amen. And when you don't think he knows where you are, can I say this tonight? God knows exactly where you are, amen. He knows every step you take. He knows every thought, you know. He knows every head on your hair on your head tonight, amen. I'm simply saying, give me that old-time way that still says that we serve a living and an everlasting God, amen. Oh, yes. He's alive. He knows where we are. Thank God we know where he is. Amen. And I rejoice in that tonight. But I realize tonight that we live in a world today where many people question the existence of God. You know, there was a time when even if somebody would have thought that, they would have never said it out loud. But we're living in a society today where, listen, they'll put their finger in your face. And they'll cuss you, and they'll tell you in no uncertain term that there is no God. And my friend, I'm telling you, you watch it on the news, you can listen on the radio. I mean, listen, it don't matter what platform you go on. And I mean, listen, they're on there, and they're loud, and they try to persuade people, that kind of stuff. But I can tell you tonight, friend, listen, I'm glad I still believe there's a living God. I'm glad I can still say tonight, thank God, he's everlasting. Amen. I'm glad, thank God for that. I'm glad I'm holding and I'm trusting in the things of Almighty God tonight. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms 41, verse number 1, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And boy, that's what they're saying today. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 28, the Bible said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Is there no searching of his understanding? And I think about that word creator. And I think about creation tonight. You think about creation. For that word creation simply means the form and design of life. And it proves that there must be a creator God. And we know that. As we was going through the mountains this morning, I can look on the left and I can look on the right. And I can see that there was a creator God. And I rejoice in that. Can I say, listen, and we don't have to wonder about that. But we know folks think about things like that. Can I say, when you get back in your car this evening, or when you get back in your pickup truck, you don't have to say, I wonder if there was a design, if this truck or car was designed by somebody. If there was an engineer for my car or my truck, or wonder if somebody put it together. You don't have to wonder about those things like that. Because we know that that car and that truck had a certain kind of design or form. And so design and form mandates that there must be a designer or a creator of that automobile that you drive. And can I say tonight, when we see the birds fly across the sky and view the clouds above, when we enjoy the flowers of the field and the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and the plains and the sun and the moon, we don't question whether there was a creator God, because design mandates that there was. And I'm glad, thank God, he's a living God and he's an everlasting God. Can I say tonight, plain common sense about life dictates to us that there is a God. Can I say tonight what our society is lacking tonight quickly? Can I tell you tonight what our nation as a whole tonight is lacking? And I'll tell you, and I'll give it to you very briefly. Here's what it is. Common sense.
You may not have a high education. You may not went to 4 or 8 years of school. You may college, and you may not know everything about everything, but thank God for common sense. Amen. There's some things that common sense will tell me that this has to be right because my common sense is telling me that this is just the way it is. But I'm telling you, friend, we're living in a society today where there is simply no common sense coming out from the top, going down to the bottom. Huh? You don't have to tell me what bathroom to go to. Put the man on the door. I can find him. A few months ago, and y'all helped us with that, we went out to California, and I knew I was in trouble when I got off at Los Angeles at the airport, and I went to the bathroom, and it said neutral freely, neutral zone. It said anybody can go, and I thought to myself, this ain't right. And then I thought to myself, I'll wait till I get somewhere that got some sense to know where the bathroom's supposed to be. Huh? I'm simply saying, friend, listen, common sense has went out. I'm telling you, friend, it's the same in our society today. When somebody has a baby, they have to wait until the baby's 5 years old, and then the baby's going to tell them if they're a boy or a girl. Somebody say amen. That does away with all these things that y'all have, ladies, at the baby showers and all these gender reveals. Y'all can't have no more of them. Because y'all may reveal it one way, in 5 years they may reveal it another way. Somebody say amen. And I'm simply saying, thank God. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I can tell you exactly what they are. Somebody say amen. I don't have to have no doctorate for that. I don't have to have no physician's license for that. Praise God, let them come out. I'll tell you what they are. Amen. And I'll tell you what they are within a second. Amen. I can tell you exactly what they are. And I can make a lot of money sitting there telling them exactly what they are. Somebody say amen. But we're living in a society today where they said, oh, no, you can't do that. That might warp that child. What? Warp the child. Somebody ought to warp you. Somebody say amen for that foolishness that we got going on in our country today. I'm simply saying, friend, we live in a society where, listen, the common sense has gone out the window. Amen. And I mean, listen, I heard this morning there's a state up north that just passed a law. The governor signed it the other day that says now the citizens of their state can pump their own gas. Praise God, I've been pumping my own gas ever since I've been driving. Amen. I wish somebody would have told me that they could pass the law, let somebody else pump my gas for me. Amen. It got cold out there in the wintertime, and it's mighty hot in the summer. Amen. And I wish that, but now, listen, they got the freedom now. They have to get out and pump. Bless their heart. They got to get out and pump their own gas now. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, welcome to America. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, common sense. But I'm glad, thank God, common sense tells me that there is a creator. Common sense tells me that there is a God. And thank God, he's a living God. He's an everlasting God. And thank God, give me that old time way that still says we serve a living and an everlasting God. David said this in Psalms 8, verses number 3 and 4. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1 said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Can I say tonight, thank God, give me the old time way that still says and believes, thank God, that we serve a living and an everlasting God. Amen. And I tell you, friend, amen to that tonight. Amen. And what a blessing. Number two, notice this. Give me the old time way that still says the Bible is God's pure, holy, inerrant word. Thank God for the King James Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the King James Bible that we're able to put in the hands of inmates all across our country so they can have the Word of God. A lot of inmates said, Brother Harrison, they said, where's the honey buns? Where's the cookies? I said, I ate them all before I got here. Amen. and the only thing I got left is the Bible. Amen. And can I say, my friend, when you give a person a Bible, you have given that person an everlasting gift. Amen. I mean, a gift that I keep on giving. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, for that is God's word. And I want to say, thank God. I realize everybody else changing the way, bow everything up. But I want to tell you something, friend. I'm going to stand on the King James Bible. Amen. And I want to stand on the Word of God. Amen for that. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. This does not mean only a certain portion out of the Old Testament and a piece out of the New. This does not include merely that which you think is applicable for you today. It does not mean a miracle here or a miracle there or that the book is right here but wrong there. Can I say, my friend, it's all right. Amen. From cover to cover. Amen. I've been in prison before, and I'm sure Brother Castle has as well. And I asked to see their Bible, and they'll give you a Bible, and they tore half of the pages out of the Bible. Now, they may have smoked it. I have no idea. But I pray if they did, I pray God pulled their tonsils plumb out of their head. Somebody say amen. That's right. Shameful. But a lot of them say, preacher, the reason James is not in the Bible because we don't like it. And therefore, if we don't like it, we just tear it out. Can I say, listen, it don't matter what you tear out, it's still settled in heaven, amen. I mean, you can tell her I tear it, but it ain't going to change the fact that it's still settled in heaven. Somebody asked one time, they said, and I'll ask these brother here on the front row, they says, is the Bible everything God knows? And the answer is no. For God knows everything. But the Bible contains everything that he wants you to know and everything he wants me to know. Is that right? Amen. It's found in the Bible, the Word of God. And so we ought to read the Bible and search the Scriptures and allow God to help us in these days that we live. And I'm grateful for that. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. I like what A.W. Tozer said about the Bible. I like the quote that he made when he was referring to the Bible, and here's what he said. He said, the Bible, he said, it's the voice of God calling men home from the wiles of sin. He said, it is the roadmap for the returning prodigal. He said, it is instruction in righteousness. He said, it's light and darkness, information about God, about man, about life, death, heaven, and hell. You'll find in the Bible. He said, in it, God warns. He said, in it, God commands. In it, God rebukes, and in it, God promises us, and in it, God encourages us from the Bible. There ain't nothing can encourage you more than the Bible, the Word of God. In it, he offers salvation and life through his eternal Son. And notice this. And the destiny of each one depends upon the response he or she makes to the voice of the Word. I'll say this. Brother Howson cannot save nobody. Brother Howson cannot save anybody. But if Brother Howson had preached from this Bible, the Bible, the Word of God, God would take his Word and God would convict that sinner to show that person they're lost without Christ. And they need to be saved. Let me throw this in. It won't cost you a dime. I still believe that before a person can get saved, the Holy Ghost of God has to convict them that they're lost. Huh? The Spirit, John 6:44 is in the Bible. The Spirit of God has to move on that person, and he'll draw him unto himself. And that person will realize that, listen, he's a sinner, needs to be saved by God's grace. You know what? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Listen, it's not our job. It's not me and Brother Barker's job and these other preachers in this room to save anybody, but it is our job to preach the Word and share the Scripture and allow God to move in a special, great in mind. Listen, all we are mail carriers. Amen. It's just like if you're the mailman, you have a simple job. It's not a simple, I'm not saying a simple job, it's a hard job. But it simply goes something like this if you carry the mail. It's your job is to pull up to the mailbox, open the box door, stick the mail in, close the door. Is that right? Once you have closed the door on that mailbox, you have completed your obligation to that address, and you've done everything that you're supposed to do, friend. Now, whether that person that opens that box, and I think about Fred Sanford every time I think about that. Bill. Every time, that wasn't too good, but that's what I thought about. Brother Jerry's got me thinking about it. But every time, but if that person, brother, gets that light bill out of that mailbox and does not pay the light, and the lights get turned out, it's not the mailman's fault. It's not the mail lady's fault. Listen, it's because you didn't pay your bill. That's exactly what happened, and they cut it off. Listen, it's our job is to deliver the mail. Amen. And when your pastor gets up here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and revivals and all the things, listen, all we are to do is just to give you the mail. Now, what you do with it it's up to you to what you do with it, friend. But I'm simply saying, friend, thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Word of God that we can have tonight, and we can rejoice in His goodness. Number three, now notice this. First, I said, I'm going to stand on the old well. He's a living and an everlasting God. I want to stand, number two, thank God on the beliefs that, thank God, the Bible is the Word of God, the King James Bible. Number three, give me the old-time way. Give me the old-time way that still says, number three, and I know this hurts a lot of people today, but number three, that man and woman is still a sinner. You say, well, Brother Howson, folks don't want you talking about that any longer. You know, folks don't want you to, it hurts their feelings. It makes them feel bad. They don't like those things. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you the best day in Brother Howson's life. The best day wasn't in 1992 when I married Miss Cindy. I married a Barker girl, and now I told her she's been a Howson way longer than she was ever a Barker. Somebody say amen. Amen. She don't like that. Amen. I probably won't eat no supper, but that's all right. But I praise the Lord for that. And I don't know what I was going to say after that, but it was going to be a good one. Amen. What was I going to say, Miss Cindy? Tell me. She don't know what I was going to say. I can't remember what I was going to say. It was going to be a good one too, Brother Castle. I'm telling you what. Amen. The best. I'm having a senior moment. Somebody help me. Amen. It wasn't when I married Miss Cindy. I tried to forget that real fast for that supper, amen. It wasn't when our oldest boy was born in 95, although that was a good day. Or when our middle boy was born in 98, which was a wonderful time. Or our youngest one that sits back here tonight that was born in 03, which was a blessing. But it was when God saved me. In other words, it was when I realized who I was. And I'll tell you who I was. I was a sinner. I was lost without the Lord. I needed to have, I realized that I was the sinner and He was the Savior. And thank God, when I realized who I was the sinner. And when I realized who He was the Savior. I'm glad, thank God, I got saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I'm saying today, friend, we're living in a society where nobody wants to hear that. But the fact is, give me that old time way when the man of God is standing behind the sacred desk and still says man and woman are sinners. That needs to be saved. Romans 5:12, the Bible said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We know Romans 3:23, where the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know Romans 5:8, where the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think about some years ago, Brother Castle, when we was down in Alabama, And I always, for many years, had the great opportunity to go into the great institution called Kilby Correctional, which would probably have the biggest attendance in our services back in the day. And we would have well over 200 men that would come out to our church service and would fill the auditorium up so well. And we would go out on visitation during the day. And we went out the first night and had a wonderful visitation and services and invited the men to come. And on the second day, the same thing. I went on visitation, inviting the men. Other men got inviting the men from the prison, inviting folks to come. And on the second night, listen, that place was full. I mean, just about every seat in that auditorium, just like your seats right here, same seats like you got here, is the same seats they got in their chapel, in their prison. And over 200 men crowded into that building. The man of God got up to preach that night, Dr. Ellis. And he preached, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And in the middle of the message, no invitation was given. Nobody has struck a key on the piano. Nobody has said anything about an invitation given. And about halfway of the man of God's message, a man on this side of the auditorium, an inmate, jumps up and he runs down to the altar. And another man jumps up and he runs down to the altar. And another man jumps up and he runs down to the altar. And I was sitting on this side and I jump up and I come across the auditorium and I grabbed the man in the altar that had got there and I grabbed him by the hand. And I said, sir, why did you come to this altar? He said, preacher. He said, I was sitting back there in my seat minding my business. He said, I was listening to that preacher up there preach the word of God. He said, I realized that I'm a lost man. I realized I'm going to go to hell without God if I don't get saved by the grace of God. And he said, preacher, I'll tell you why I come. Because I need to be saved. That old boy, Brother Castle, got in that altar and he got saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, friend, listen. When the Holy Ghost of God is doing here, he don't need me to give the invitation. Listen, friend, he don't need nobody to play the piano of invitation. When the Spirit of God moves, friend, he'll move on the hearts of the people. And listen, they'll come. When everything was said and done, preacher, 32 men had come to that altar and trusted Christ as their Savior. 32 men. You say, Roberta Howson, what was all that about? I'll tell you what it was about. 32 men realized that they were a sinner and they needed a Savior. And thank God they come running for one. And thank God they accepted Christ into their heart. I was in a prison just a few weeks ago in South Carolina over at Kershaw. And I preached first. And there was another preacher preaching right after me. And when I got done, the preacher got up. We weren't given no invitation. The coordinator said I couldn't give an invitation. And when the coordinator tells me I don't do, I mind the coordinator. That's what they... The preacher that got up after I did, he got up and he said, I just feel like that the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart about salvation. And he said, before I open the Bible, he said, there may be somebody here that is lost without God. A man jumps up on that side and he runs to the altar. A man jumps up in the middle and he runs to the altar and gets saved by the good grace of God. I'm simply saying, thank God, listen, give me the old time way. It still says, man is a sinner. That man needs to be saved by the good grace of God. And I rejoice in that this evening. Let me say this, number four, give me the old time way. That still says sin has its consequences. You know, we're living in a society today where folks do the things they do because they feel like there's no consequence to their actions. But can I say, friend, listen, the old time way still says there's consequence to your action. The Bible said in Galatians 6, verse number 7, he said, be not deceived. He said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can I say, listen, that R.G. Leach preached that message, that payday someday, because one day judgment time is coming. There is a payday one day, accountability time. Is coming. But we're living in a society today where it seems like nobody understands that there's consequence to the sin. You know what bothers me? What bothers me is when I watch the evening news and I see these people going into these grocery stores and these drug stores and they go in with their own shopping bags empty. And when they come out, they're full, but they forget about going by the cash register and paying for the merchandise that they just stole. Somebody say amen. Because they know that there's nothing nobody's going to do about it. You know what bothers me? When they ride that bicycle into the store, got bags on both shoulders, and they go in there and they just raking the merchandise off into their bags, and then they ride. Listen, here's what I'm thinking. I may not be right tonight, but I'm thinking, won't somebody knock them off that bicycle? Won't somebody knock them off that bicycle? Huh? That'll slow them down. I saw one this morning. Old boy had his big old trash can on wheels. Sorry, bigger than him carried, rolling on wheels. Got behind the cash register and stealing all the people's cigarettes. I don't know what that bird was going to do with all them cigarettes, but he had thousands of packs of. He was just piling them up in. Y'all, anybody saw that this morning? You saw him, brother. My brother back there is a witness. He was a piling them bad boys in that trash can. And I thought to myself, can't somebody stop that rascal from doing that? And about that time, somebody tackled him on the ground. And then what really got it real good, there was some fella come out there, and he had a stick about as long from here to that wall over yonder, and he was beating the fire, that boy. He had that stick. Am I telling right, brother? He had that stick, and that man was holding him around the head, and he had it, and he was beating the fire. Is that far? Y'all got far around. He was beating the daylight. He was beating the living daylights out of that man, and he was screaming. You say, Brother Harrison, what you think about it? I liked it. You say, Preacher, that ain't good for a I don't care. I liked it. You know what I said? And one old boy said, Quit hitting him. I said, hit him again. Ain't that right? Hit him again. Praise God. Come in this story. Consequences. There's consequences to the sin, friend. Can I say this, friend? Adultery is still sin. Amen. Can I say this? Fornication is still sin. Somebody say amen. Listen, killing unborn baby is still sin, friend. Listen, listen. Drugs is still sin. Alcohol, still sin. God ain't changed his mind on it not one bit. And I say tonight, if it was sin then, it's still sin today. Don't matter what nobody else says about it. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Young people, listen. Don't matter what nobody else says. If God says it's wrong, it's always wrong. And it's never right to do wrong. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, we have to understand that. Listen, that there's always consequence to sin. Give me that old time way that still has that belief that there's still consequence to sin. Then I'll say this one and I'm done. Give me the old time way that simply says that Jesus Christ is the only way. And a person can be eternally saved through his blood. Some years ago, I was in a prison, South Carolina. And I walked into a dorm, Brother Barker. And, you know, big open dorm, barracks style, bunks, beds everywhere, as far as you can see. And so I walked up to the first man I come to, I grabbed him by the hand, and here's what I said. I said, hey, friend. I said, my name is Brother Harrison. I said, I serve with the Rock of Ages Ministry. And I just wanted to come by and just speak to you about the Lord. And I wonder, friend, if you was to die today, do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? Have you been born again into the family of God? And Brother Barker, the man with a big smile on his face, said, Preacher, he said, yes, sir. He said, I've been saved. I know the Lord. He said, I rejoice in the goodness of God. God, and listen, we just had wonderful fellowship. Listen, not everybody in a prison is a lost person. Somebody say amen. Some people just make the wrong decisions and choices, and because of that, they have to go to prison. There's not a person in this room right now exempt from prison. Huh? For it only takes but one thing that you choose to do wrong, and it can send you there in a hurry. And I rejoice with this man. We praise the Lord together. And I thank God for saving him. And I rejoice. Well, I left him, and the next man that I come up to, I grabbed him by the hand, and I had the same talking points. And I said, "Hey, sir." I said, "My name is Brother Halson." I don't know if he cared about it. I said, "I'm with the Rock of Ages Ministry." And I said, "We were having revival here at this prison today and the next 3 days." And I said, I just want to ask you a question. I said, "If you was to die today, do you know for sure that you're saved by the grace of God?" And here's what he said. He said, "Sir," he said, "you know that man you just talked to?" I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "That man every day talks to me about the Lord." He said, "That man every day invites me to church. Every day he tells me how it needs to be saved." But he said, "Preacher, these people in this room says I have a problem." And he says, "I don't think I have a problem, but they say all these men in here, most of all of them, says that I have a problem." And he said, "I want to ask you the question and see what your thoughts is about what I'm going to ask you." And I said, "Well, listen, if it's something about your health, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know anything about that. If it's something about your case, you know everybody's innocent in prison. Y'all know that, don't you?" I said, "Sir, I'm not a lawyer, and I cannot help you with that matter." I said, "But friend, if it's something about this Bible, I'm here to help you in a spiritual way." He said, "Well, preacher, I believe you can probably say it's probably a spiritual matter, I would imagine." He said, "So," I said, "well, if that's the case," I said, "fire it off to me, and I'll try my best to help you any way I can." And here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, when I die, I want to go to heaven to be where God is." I said, "That's wonderful. Amen." I said, "That's where I'm going. I've been saved. I'm going." He said, "But wait a minute, preacher, you didn't let me finish." He said, "But here's my problem. My problem is I do not believe that a person has to go through Jesus Christ to get there." And I'll be honest, I hear a lot of things. Over 18 years of prison, you have heard everything. I mean, I've heard, if it was to be said, I heard it. But I've never heard that one before. And to the point where I said, "Sir," I said, "can you repeat that to me one more time so I'll make sure that I heard what you said so I can respond?" He said, "I'll tell you again." He said, "I want to go to heaven one day. I want to go to where God is, but I do not believe that a person has to go through Jesus Christ to get there." I said, "Sir, you've got a problem. You've got a major problem. Because the problem is, the only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus." I said, "The Bible said," he said in John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through him." We have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not right? And I said, "Sir, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, if you don't get born into the family of God, friend, listen, you'll die and you'll go to hell without God." What else did you want me to tell him? Did you want me to tell him as one of your missionaries? Did you want me to tell him, "Oh, friend, that's all right. You do good and everything's going to end up okay. Oh, that's all right. You give your monies to the church and everything's going to be fine. Oh, that's all right. You join the church." And listen, that's not right. That the fact is, if that man does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he'll die and go to hell without God.
He said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." He said, "I will not trust Christ as my Savior." He said, "I do not believe that, and I will not do that." And I said, "Sir, listen to me." I said, "We're going to have a revival meeting tonight right down the hall here. Right down the hall to the right is the chapel." I said, "I'm asking you, would you come tonight to the service? Just come, sit, and listen." He said, "Well, I don't have anything else to do tonight, so I reckon I'll make him come on down there." And so he shows up, sits about middle way of the back, and sits there. And the man of God gets up and preaches the Word of God. And I mean, listen, and I think it was Brother Tom McKeon that was up preaching. And I'm telling you, he had the hammer laid down. I mean, letting the plow low, way down low. And he was preaching. I'm telling you, preaching. And when the invitation given, there were men that got up out of their chair and just about slid into the altar to be saved, but not that man. Not that man. I went back to him and I said, "Sir, listen, you're going to have to trust Christ." He said, "I'll not do it." He said, "If that's the way I have to get to heaven," he said, "I'll not go because I'm not doing that. I am not trusting Christ as my Savior. I refuse to do that." He turns around and walks out. The next night he comes, sits back in the same place. The man of God gets up and preaches the Word of God. And listen, and folks come in to get saved, but not that man. As far as I know, I have no idea. He never did come. Brother Barker, I thought about that. Churches all over the country tonight having their Sunday night service. And there are folks by the multitudes in the congregations over the whole country. And the man of God about right now is giving an invitation to the people that they will come. Let the Spirit of God speak to the heart and let the people come. If they're lost without God, will they come? And there is no doubt that there are folks in the congregation who know not Christ as their Savior, but yet they will not come. They will not come. And they'll get up out of that chair and they'll walk out of those doors in saying exactly what that man was saying. And I will not trust Christ. I will not trust Christ. And they'll leave lost without the Lord. One preacher preached one time and he said, "Aren't you glad you don't have to leave out the same way you come in? You may have come in here tonight one way. You may have come into the service tonight and brother, if the sister can come to the piano, I don't know how you want to do it. But you may have come into this service tonight and you're lost without the Lord. And you know that you're not saved. You know you've never been born again into the family of God. God is dealing with your heart tonight. And friend, you know that. And you may have come in that way. But can I say tonight, you don't have to leave that way. Thank God you can be saved tonight. You can rejoice that there is a Savior with open arms and telling you to come and accept Christ as your personal Savior. But what happens is, the Spirit of God will speak to a person. And they'll get up and they'll reject that. They'll walk right out the door, rejecting. Brother, what sends a man to hell? I'll tell you what it does. It's not murder. It's not stealing. But when a man or a woman, boy or girl, rejects Christ, rejects the Holy Spirit of God. I like what one preacher said, Brother Barker. It says like God will turn the lights on in our soul. But man will reach over and he'll turn them off. Maybe the Spirit of God will come by again. And Brother Castle, he may turn it back on. Then man reaches over and turns it off. Who knows? The Spirit of God may pass by another time and flip the lights on. And the man reaches over and turns the lights off. God leaves the lights off. There may be one here tonight. Say, "Preacher, I need Christ. I'm not going to be like that man. Because I know what my mama told me. I know what my daddy's been telling me. I know what the preacher's been saying. I remember when Grandma and Grandpa praised the Lord, worshiped God, because they knew that He was the way. He was the way and is the way."